So God began a new covenant. We're talking about new covenant and new life this month. And God began a new covenant with Abraham, and he started with instructions. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And I'll be in the New Living Translation for these verses, and after that in the New King James. But I'm going to read these first four in the New Living Translation. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Lord, let us be challenged and renewed and restored and convicted, God, and changed, Lord, as we study your word and as we walk in what you're speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Okay, you can be seated. So notice it says the Lord had said to Abram. God started a covenant with Abraham, but he started with instructions. See, God offers us to walk in newness of life in a new covenant with him, but we have to be willing to follow his instructions if we're going to walk in that new covenant. And so here, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country." The New King James says, "Get you out," or the King James, as I've heard quoted many times, says, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy relatives, and go to a land that I will show you." Now, what's interesting is that the same Greek word here in verse 4 is translated "departed" in the New Living, but it's the same word. So Abraham exactly obeyed what God told him to do, and that is why he was blessed. Because he believed God, he was obedient to God. And we're going to see how that faith and obedience go together. We can say that we have faith in God, but if we really have faith, then obedience is going to follow our faith. And so here it says God told him to leave and he left. Now, notice it says leave equals it means to depart. It also, the first meaning of it means to walk. Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Being obedient to God continually depends on movement on our part. It means we have to be willing to move when God says move. We have to be willing to obey when God says obey. We have to be willing to step out or step back or move whenever he tells us to. And so moving with the Spirit requires change and separation and growth. It requires stepping away from what's comfortable and often moving into what's uncomfortable, stepping into things that we're unfamiliar with. Abraham did exactly this. Now, he says, "Go to a land that I will show you." So God did not tell Abraham where he was going initially. Now, later it says that he went to Canaan. But in Hebrews 11:8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Now, Abraham was not a young man. He was 75 years old when he did this. When he went out following the voice of God, not knowing where he was going, just being obedient to the word that God had spoken to him. And sometimes God does not give us circumstances. He gives us a word to follow. And that's where we decide how much we really believe what he says. Because it says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. God often asks for obedience without giving us all the details. As we follow him, he sometimes shows us things and reveals to us the hows and whys. But trust requires that we follow even when we don't know where we're going. Even when we don't know what it's going to look like or how it's going to turn out or how hard it's going to be or how easy it's going to be. It teaches us and reminds us, though, that trust requires that we follow even when we don't know where we're going. Even when we don't understand. That's why the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Joyce Meyer, the book that I'm going to read an excerpt from later, but it says that often reasoning is at war with faith. When God gives us instructions, sometimes it isn't direct war with what our mind says makes sense for us to do. And that's when we determine whether we're going to obey or whether we're going to obey our own intelligence. What makes sense to us, what is comfortable for us, what our mind can figure out. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart, not with all your mind, but with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. If you lean on your own understanding, you will not trust and obey God, because there will be many times that we do not understand what God is asking of us or what he is doing in our lives or in our circumstances. So it requires, trust requires that we follow even when we don't know where we're going. It teaches us and reminds us that God always knows where he's going. And if we're following him, we'll be fine. And we have to learn. And that's when we really see how deep our trust level is. Is when God says, rather than we say, why God? And he says, because of this and this and this. When he looks at us, or when he just says to us, trust me. And we decide whether or not we trust him, based on that being the only answer. And sometimes that's the only answer that he gives us. I had a time in my life where I was asking God multiple questions. And God gave me one passage of scripture that had three verses. And I kept going back and back and back, because it was all he would give me. So I think I studied every Greek word, even the articles in that passage of scripture, because I thought, okay, Lord, if this is all that there is, I'm going to get everything there is to understand out of this. And God kept revealing new things through that passage, because he will speak to us, but he does not always explain himself to us. He's God. And trust means that we will follow even if we don't understand. It means that we remember that he knows where he's going, and that we'll be fine if we're following him, that we'll be in his will, and that's the best place to be. Now, that's one of those cliche things that's easy to say. Well, as long as I'm in the will of God, I'll be fine. That's easy to say when the will of God is where we want to be. It's hard when the will of God is not where we want to be. When the will of God is calling us to step out into the unknown, when we're stepping out onto the water and we can't see what's underneath us, when God is calling us to step out in faith and we don't know what's going to happen, or we can't see the results, or we're not comfortable with what he's asking us to do. But even that mentality, the mentality that his will is always what's best for me, is learned through sometimes realizing what we thought God was going to do and how we thought he was going to do it was wrong. When my ideas are faced with the reality of what he is doing in my life is when I decide whether or not his will is really better or mine. And that's the time when we choose to walk in his will or to choose to walk in our own. And so when the timing in which we thought things would happen didn't, then we find out, do we really trust him? Are we really satisfied with his will and his timing and his way, even when it's different than our will and our timing and our way? Hebrews 11:1, my dad quoted, both of my parents quoted for as long as I can remember. Hebrews 11:1 says, "With now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now substance means support. So it means a setting under. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we have these things that we're hoping for often, but faith is the support. So when the things that we hoped for take longer or seem harder to receive than we originally thought, we find out how strong the support is, how strong our faith is. We find out, oh, okay, you know what? I thought that my faith was pretty strong, but now I'm realizing that I still need to grow some in faith because my faith is weaker than I thought it was. It's easy to be strong in faith when every promise is coming to pass right away, when everything that we're asking God for, he's answering immediately. That is easy to walk in faith. But when it takes 25 years for you to receive a child, that's when you find out how strong your faith really is. And that is what happened with Abraham. Romans 4:17-22. God was speaking to Abraham, and he said, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believes, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believe." This is talking about Abraham now. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So let's read verse 18 again. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Abraham believed contrary to hope. He believed. It says, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. We're going to come back to that later because it is very important in a faith battle that you're walking in that you are hearing from God on what he wants you to do because that is what is going to stand the test of time. So it says, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And that's a quote that God had spoken to him. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. I mean, this is one of those stories that, you know, you just kind of get used to. But man, thinking about the fact that God promised Abraham a child, and yet his body for having children was long gone. I mean, it says that his body was already dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And yet he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. So even though every circumstance in his life said it was never going to happen, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. It says he did not waver through unbelief. I want to share an excerpt, and this is kind of a long excerpt, but I know that God led me to it and wants me to share it. So it's from Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind. And it says, Joyce Meyer says, we usually talk about doubt and unbelief together as if they are one and the same, when actually they're different. Vine's, an expository dictionary of the New Testament words, partially defines doubt in the verb form as to stand in two ways, implying uncertainty which way to take, said of believers whose faith is small, being anxious through a distracted state of mind or wavering between hope and fear. The same dictionary notes that one of the two Greek words translated as unbelief is always rendered disobedience in the revised version of the King James translation. So as we then look at these two powerful tools of the enemy, we see that doubt causes a person to waver between two opinions, whereas unbelief leads to disobedience. Because if we do not truly believe when God has given us a word and we do not stand in that word, it will cause us to disobey. Because if God has given us instructions as what to do or what not to do, and then we do not believe his word, we will eventually end up doing our own thing, which is disobedience. And so she says, I heard a story that will shed light on doubt, the first one. There was a man who was sick and who was confessing the word over his body, quoting healing scriptures and believing for his healing to manifest. While doing so, he was intermittently attacked with thoughts of doubt. After he had gone through a hard time and was beginning to get discouraged, God opened his eyes to the spirit world. This is what he saw. A demon speaking lies to him, telling him that he was not going to get healed and that confessing the word was not going to work. But he also saw that each time he confessed the word, light would come out of his mouth like a sword and the demon would cower and fall backward. As God showed him this vision, the man then understood why it was so important to keep speaking the word. He saw that he did have faith, which is why the demon was attacking him with doubt. Doubt is not something that God puts in us. The Bible says that God gives to every man a measure of faith, which is in Romans 12:3. God has placed faith in our heart, but the devil tries to negate our faith by attacking us with doubt. Doubt comes in the form of thoughts that are in opposition to the word of God. This is why it is so important for us to know the word of God. If we know the word, then we can recognize when the devil is lying to us. Even when he's using things out of context, which is what he tried to do with Jesus. The devil quoted the word to Jesus, but he used it out of context. He twisted it for Jesus to use God's word to gain his own advantage, to get what he wanted, instead of reading it to receive what God had for him. And so If we know the word, we can recognize when the devil is lying to us, when he is twisting scripture. Be assured that he lies to us in order to steal what Jesus purchased for us through his death and resurrection. Joyce Meyer says, when I am in a battle, knowing what God has promised, and yet being attacked with doubt and unbelief, I like to read or meditate on Romans 4, 18 through 21, which is what we read a few minutes ago. Abraham had been given a promise by God that he would cause him to have an heir from his own body. Many years had come and gone, and still there was no child as a result of Abraham and Sarah's relationship. Abraham was still standing in faith, believing what God had said would come to pass. As he stood, he was being attacked with thoughts of doubt, and the spirit of unbelief was pressing him to disobey God. Disobedience in a situation like this can simply be to give up when God is prompting us to press on. Disobedience is disregarding the voice of the Lord, whether God is speaking to us, whatever God is speaking to us personally, not just transgressing the Ten Commandments. So when God gives us a personal word and tells us to do something or not to do something and we disobey, it's disobedience. As Christians, we surrender our rights to live for ourselves to God. Now, I believe that a lot of Christians seem to believe that you can ignore what God is asking you to do and continue in fellowship with him. You cannot. Now, I don't believe that if somebody makes a mistake, that God throws them out of relationship with him. But I don't believe that you can continue in fellowship with God while walking in disobedience. When God begins to show us things and begins to require things of us, our only response as Christians should be to come before God. And if we cannot do it because what he's asking us to do is beyond our natural ability, is when we repent and we say, God, I cannot do this on my own, but I trust that if you are asking me to, then your grace is sufficient, and that when I am weak, then you are strong. Because otherwise, we deceive ourselves. The Bible says to be a hearer of the word and not a doer. We deceive ourselves. The Holy Spirit will speak things to our heart and to our mind. He will show us things that we are to do, things that we're to change, things that he wants us to do. And when we don't do them, our only response should be repentance and ask for help. Because I've been honest before that things that God asked me to do, and I thought, God, I can't do that. But when that happens, and when I have missed it, I have to go to God and say, God, I am sorry. I missed it. Please forgive me. And you know what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we confess, he forgives and we can again walk in fellowship with him. But you know what? What is likely to happen at some point or another is he's going to bring us right back to that same spot and say, now do what I told you to do. Just like the Robert Morris when he was talking and he kept telling his son, now close the drawer. And the son would, every time he would go. And he said, you know, and I would tell him, now daddy's going to have to spank you if you don't obey because you're being disobedient. Do you understand me? Yes, I understand. Take him right back to the drawer. Now close the drawer. He said, every time the son would make this face. And I went through that with my children. When you tell them to do something and they look like they're repentant until you tell them to do the thing that you told them to do. And sometimes we as God's children are that way. Oh God, I'm so sorry. And then God tells us to do the thing that he told us to do before. And we go, nope. We're being disobedient children. We are in rebellion to what God is telling us to do. And everything that God tells us to do is not only for our good and for our growth, but for the good of others. And so we have to come in repentance. We have to be honest, God. And I have been at this place where I've had to say, God. And I've gone to my mom and said, Mom, God is asking me to do this, and I just can't. I can't do what he's asking me to do. And I've shared this before when I came to her and she said to me, and I can still remember where I was standing because it was after service and I was standing way out in the parking lot. And she said to me, Shannon, I have heard everything but faith. And I honestly, my initial response was, wait a minute. So you just want me to have faith that I'm going to be able to obey the next time? Like, in my head, that's way too easy. You know, like, it would have been easier for her to tell me, like, go do some kind of penance, you know, go, you know, I don't know, carry some bricks across the yard and apologize to God 12 times while you're doing it. You know, I mean, because then I would feel like, you know, I was doing something because I felt so like I had missed it so bad, you know, over and over. And so when she said that to me, it really kind of revolutionized my thinking. And this is how we come right back to faith. Faith is believing that God is able to strengthen us to do what he is calling us to do. See, when we step outside of faith, we say to God, God, I can't do that. But the reason that we do that is because we separate ourselves from his strength. And you know what? In our own strength, we can't. But many times we have separated ourselves from his strength because we know that if I step back into his strength, I'm going to have to walk in things that I don't want to walk in. And I would rather tell myself that I can't do it. Because let me just be honest, that is easier. It is easier to stay the same. It's easier to stay in our comfort zone. It's easier to say, but this is who I've always been. This is how I've always handled things. This is how I am. This is, you know, what's easy for me. But Christianity has never been about what's easy for us. If it was easy for us, we wouldn't need Jesus. But Christianity is about continually recognizing how dependent we are on him. And being able to say, like I did with God, God, I cannot do this on my own, but God, I will believe that I will be obedient the next time that you speak to me, not in my own strength, but as we begin to allow faith to rise in our heart, that who God is calling us to be, he will enable us to be, is when we begin to change. And Christianity is about walking in newness of life. And as we see with Abraham, it doesn't matter how old you are. He was 75 years old when he chose to step out into what God was calling him to walk in. When my dad went to college, he was older than a lot of the people in college. He was 30 years old when he graduated. A lot of people are already in their life career by that point. And he was just starting out brand new in the ministry. And so he said he went to start a church because he didn't feel like, you know, he was worthy or to go to anywhere else. And so he figured just start at the bottom and all you could do is go up. And so he started from nowhere. But we know now that was God's plan. God's plan was for him to be a church planner. Even in our weaknesses, God can use us. Even in our frailties, if we're just willing to step out and be obedient, he can use us. But we have to be obedient and we have to step out whenever he's telling us to. And the way that we walk in obedience is faith. We say to God, God, I cannot be this. I cannot do this. I cannot walk in this. I cannot obey you in my own strength. But God, I believe that by your power, if you said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then that verse is for me the same as it is for everybody else. God, forgive me if I don't want to walk in what you're telling me to walk in, and help me to want to obey what you're asking me to do. And then we allow God even to give us and help us to have the want to. And he will. So Abraham continued to be steadfast. He kept praising and giving glory to God. The Bible says that as he did so, he grew strong in faith. You see, when God tells us something or asks us to do something, the faith to believe or to do it comes with the word from God. It would be ridiculous for God to expect us to do something and not give us the ability to believe that we can do it. Satan knows how dangerous we will be with a heart full of faith, so he attacks us with doubt and unbelief. He attacks us with what we can't do, with how many times we've missed it in the past, and gets us so focused on ourselves that we're not looking at the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if he can get us out of the word, then he can get us out of faith. And the further away we get from God, the further we get from our ability to accomplish anything that he's calling us to do. And sometimes the sad thing is we get more and more comfortable there. And then we start doing things in our own strength. And then we start, rather than obeying God, we just do what I can do in myself and in my own strength. The problem is that's not obedience. In order to get to obedience, we have to come back. We have to admit to God that what we did was wrong. We have to ask God to forgive us and to help us to be completely obedient to what he's calling us to do. We have to ask him to give us the strength to do it, because often we can't do it in our own strength. But that's okay, because he never expected us to. That's why Jesus died, so that he could give us the strength and the grace. So seek a word from God. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is why it's so important that we hear from God on what we're to do in our lives. Because Mom and I were talking about this earlier, that one of the faith battles that she fought, she said, you know, the reason why I was able to stand fast for months was because I had that word from the Lord. She had fasted and prayed, and God had given her a word. And every time that doubt would come and that circumstances would tell her, it's not going to happen. And when people would say things to her, that word would come back. And the word is unchanging. The word is steadfast, regardless of circumstances, regardless of feelings. And so that's why when we have a word from the Lord, we can stand on that word, what he's telling us to do. That's why sometimes when people come to me and ask for advice, if the Lord's giving me a word for them, I can give it. But sometimes you need to hear from God for yourself, because you need a word from him in this situation that you're in. But when we become dependent on the Holy Spirit, and we realize, God, I need your wisdom. God, I want to walk with you, and I need you to show me what you would have me to do. He will speak. The Bible says that his sheep know his voice. And when we hear from him, that word will carry us through 25 years, if need be, as it did Abraham. That is why he was able to stand. He stood on the word that God had given him. But that doesn't mean it's always easy. The Bible says that he waxed strong in faith, not considering his own body. When God gives us a word, often we have to not consider our own body or our own feelings or our own circumstances or what's going on around us. We have to determine that we're going to stand on the word and stand steadfast, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what others think of us. And often it will call us out of our comfort zone. It will lead us into the unknown. But that's when we learn to trust that his will really is best, that his ways really are higher. Our faith has to be stronger than our circumstances. To walk in new things with God, we have to step out of the old. Old ways of thinking, old ways of talking, old ways of living, old ways of being. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. But the awesome thing is that when we do that, we can do mighty things for God. You know, the mighty things were not just for Daniel and David and Abraham and Moses. They weren't just for those great people of the Bible. We are called to do greater things. But that's why the enemy attacks our faith. Because if he can get us to lose our faith, then we don't have anything sure to stand on. We're standing on our feelings, and our feelings are constantly shifting and changing. We're standing on our circumstances, which can be changed by other people or by life or by whatever is going on with our body or whatever is going on with our, you know, with our world. But when we are standing on the word of God, it is a sure foundation. He does not change, and his word does not change. And so I just challenge you, hear from God. If you're in a situation where you need some direction, determine, God, I am not moving until I hear from you, until I know what you're telling me to do. Because God, hearing from you is the most important thing. And it requires patience, because it is easier to just blaze ahead and do what you think is best. But if you will learn to say, God, your word for me is more important, and I am going to sit here and wait, and I'm going to listen until you speak. And I am not stepping out until I hear from you. And he will speak to you. And when he speaks, then you determine that nothing that comes against you. And if it seems like other things, and I've had situations where God gave me a word, and I had during my prayer time, a very powerful thought that rose up in me that was directly contrary to what God had told me to do. And it seemed like such a good idea. And as I sat there and thought about it, all of a sudden, I felt the feeling to do that get stronger and stronger, and you need to do it now. You need to hurry up, and you need to do it now. Anytime that happens, I have learned from my mother, you need to step back and realize God does not do it. Do it now, do it now, do it now. It's almost like a salesman. Buy this car right now before you go home and think about it. You know, or the people that try to sell you stuff on television. You know, if you call right now in the next 10 minutes, you know, I mean, they don't want you to think about it. They don't want you to research it. They don't want you to decide. God is not like that. He is not afraid. He will tell you, and his will keep coming and keep coming. And so when you feel something rise up, and especially if it is contrary to what God has already spoken to you to do, be very careful. And so I just kind of stepped back when this happened to me, and I said, okay, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to know if this is what you would have me to do. Well, God had given me a passage of scripture, and so I just came to the church, and I looked up in our daily bread devotion, and it was funny because I looked up a date just popped in my head. And so I looked up that date. The very first scripture on that our daily bread was a passage of scripture that God had given me as a promise in the situation that I was waiting on. And I went, okay, Lord, I see what you're saying to me. I need to stick with originally what you told me, and I don't need to go with this feeling that I'm having. Feelings can be very strong, but if they are contrary to the word that you got from God, stick with the word. Stick with what God told you originally and keep going back to what he told you. If he promised you something, do not let circumstances or people or feelings or anything come against what the word that God has given you. Stand on that word. That's what Abraham did. And as you do that, your faith will get stronger. Because our trust then begins to become based not on our feelings, not on our circumstances, not on anything else, but based on what he said. And our faith and our trust get stronger. And that's what happened with Abraham. And all of us can be like him. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. So we can have faith just like Abraham. But we have to be willing to stand strong, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel. And let his truth come to pass, because it will. God's promises will always come to pass. But we have to be obedient to our part. Just like God called Abraham out, but he had to get out. He had to obey. And like I said, it's the same Greek word. He obeyed what God told him to do. We have to be obedient.